Good evening. Class is in session, and you're listening to Binary Gamer. I'm your host, Tony Spears, and we're going to be doing things a little bit differently this week because, unfortunately, my computer died. Well, not the computer itself. The hard drive died. But that's okay. We're going to keep sallying forth. Class schedule is still the same, so we're still here this week, and we're just going to talk a little bit about what we're playing and things like that. And I am joined by my broseph with the mostiff.
Awesome, Bobby Dawson.
Awesome.
Hey, I'm back
Bobby
for
Dawson.
One episode at least.
So, man, it was heartbreaking when it happened, dude. Like, my hard drive dying.
Yeah.
Like, the realization that my computer had failed me. I was like, no, I feel so betrayed. And now I'm back to using the laptop. Like, it feels like I'm like we're like 3 years in the past now.
Well, I mean, it's not that hard of a fix. I mean, you got to... A warranty, at least, so...
Oh, yeah, I know. It's nice that I can send it in, and I'll be able to get it all fixed and stuff like that. It'll be good as new when it comes back. Bobby's phone's chiming at him.
Yeah. Maybe I should put that on silent.
Yeah. But like I had explained before, the only thing that really irritates me about the whole scenario is the fact that I'm going to miss the launch of No Man's Sky. It could not have possibly happened at a worse time.
So, please tell me about this game. I really don't know much about it.
So, like, okay... Do you know who Hello Games are? The studio?
No.
Have you ever heard of Joe Danger?
Yes.
Okay, so Hello Games made Joe Danger, the game where you're like a washed-up stunt man, and then you perform all the crazy stunts, and you make him famous again and all that stuff.
Okay.
So they made Joe Danger and Joe Danger 2, and then they just kind of fell off the radar at one point, and then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, we made this new game called No Man's Sky. Check it out. And everyone was like, oh, okay, same guys that made... the Excite Bike type clone that is Joe Danger. Like, when you really look at it, it's kind of like Excite Bike. You like switch through lanes and stuff. It, like, if you compare Joe Danger to what No Man's Sky is, it could not be any more night and day. Because Joe Danger is just like, hey, it's like a track game, and you're just going to go through and do different runs and try and get better scores and all this stuff and pull off tricks. And No Man's Sky is like, oh, by the way, we're making a procedurally generated universe, and there's going to be like bajillions of planets, and you're going to go through and like discover planets and discover different species and plants and all kinds of stuff. So, like, the whole premise behind No Man's Sky is like you start the game, and the whole goal is to get to the center of the universe, which, according to leaked information, doesn't actually take that long. It takes about 30 hours, they said. But that's if you're just trying to like beeline your way to the center of the universe. But there's a lot of exploration that can happen in between then, because it's procedurally generating planets like as you're playing the game. So the whole idea is, and the reason why this thing has like been on the like monstrous bullet train of hype that it's been on, is because no two players are going to have the same experience based on the procedural nature of the way that the planets are going to come about. So, like, essentially the number crunch is going to be so random that you're going to run into like all these different combinations of planets and like different animals and stuff like that that can possibly happen. And because of that, my playthrough may not be the same as your playthrough, but there's multiplayer involved in the game to where there's a chance you can meet up with somebody, but because of how vast the universe is and the different points in which you'll start in your own little universe, that the crossover is like very unlikely.
Okay, so what you're describing, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but it sounds something kind of like based on the premise of like DC Universe, the free online player. I mean, for the world, like how you can go pretty much anywhere, do anything. I mean, you just run into other players every once in a while. But
yeah, I mean, like if you're looking like DC Universe Online is kind of like your standard MMO, really. So, I mean, the server population is a lot denser. Like you'll see random heroes and villains run around all over the place, regardless of where you are in the game, because of how dense the player population is. You're kind of on the right track, but it's a much broader scope. You're looking like in game, you're looking at like millions upon trillions of light years and shit like that.
So how about that game mixed with Dark Souls?
I don't think it's that level of cruelty.
Well, but kind of what I mean is like you can go around and explore, look around for things. You got to find your way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, probably the best parallel would be like Minecraft. Like, there's a lot of that. Like, you're collecting resources, you're like making upgrades to like your spacesuit, your ship, and stuff like that, so you can go closer and closer to the center of the universe. But then at some point, you're just like, just exploring for the hell of it. You know what I mean? Like, apparently you can go, like, way deep down in the ocean and stuff. Like, depending upon if there is an ocean. And there's all kinds of different planets. Like, some will just be barren desert planets. And some will be, like, lush and, like, full of life and stuff like that. And some are, like, ice planets and stuff like that. So, I mean, no one really knows all the particulars about this game yet. And I guess it's kind of what is exciting about it, is no one really knows all the facts yet.
So what's the release date?
The 9th for PS4, and then the 12th for PC.
Okay, so with that being said,
you'll see if you have any spare cash lying around.
No, what I was wondering was, like, when you get this, or when are you supposed to get this computer back? I mean, do you have any, like, time frame? Or?
They said 7 to 5 business days after they receive it. So if I were to ship it off tomorrow and priority mail it and stuff like that, and it got there overnight, I'm still not going to make the window to get it back in time to play the game on release day.
Okay, so what you can do, so what you're telling me is that since I got a PS4, that you can buy it for me so we can play it, and then you can buy it later for yourself at the... on the PC?
Well, no, see, that's what really irritates me, is the fact that I already bought it on PC. It's just sitting in my Steam library waiting to unlock. Yeah, that's, I'm telling you, dude, it's like having the Holy Grail right there, which that's another effect of the hype that I'm not trying to perpetuate, but like, it's like having that thing you really want right there in front of you. You're just waiting for like the lock to turn so you can play it.
So why don't you download it on the laptop and figure out how to play it, and then, you know, actually, I guess, play it on a better, how do I say that?
Like, play it on the better system once it comes back in.
Yeah, better system when it comes back in.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could.
I mean, you could dummy it down a little bit to play it on your laptop.
Well, apparently the freaking game will play on, like, a freaking potato. Apparently, it doesn't have very big, like, hardware requirements.
Could you play it on a Raspberry Pi?
No, definitely not. No, not on that thing. No.
Not enough RAM or what?
Definitely not enough RAM. No, apparently that Raspberry Pi is having a hard time with Kirby All-Star, so I gotta figure out how to overclock it. So that's one of the things I want to talk about. Since my computer is out of the loop right now and I'm not gonna be able to play that, I'm kind of looking at other things I can do in the meantime. So obviously I'm gonna start messing with this Raspberry Pi a little more, because now, like, now I don't have to worry so much about what I'm going to play as opposed to what do I have that I can play. I could go play the Wii U with the kids, but I'm not probably going to do that for a while, because if I have to play one more game of Super Smash Bros. Against Alex, I'm probably going to lose my mind.
See, that's why you do what I just did. I just bought, I know it's an older game, but Need for Speed Most Wanted U.
Yeah.
So I can try to see exactly how that plays on the Wii.
I mean, there are definitely games on the Wii that I want to play. Like, I'm actually really looking forward to the new Legend of Zelda game. Did you see anything about that during E3?
No, I haven't had time to catch up on that. I've been working a lot.
Yeah, your hours are pretty crazy. So, like, the new Legend of Zelda, like, looks pretty legit, honestly. And it gives me hope, because it really reminds me a lot of, I guess you'd say, like, a mix of, like, Twilight Princess and Ocarina of Time, with the way that the world is and stuff. But the world's huge, like, absolutely huge, way bigger than any Legend of Zelda game I've ever seen.
Okay, did they at least bring it into the 3D realm?
Oh yeah, it's still 3D.
Okay, just double checking. You know, I didn't know if it was like the game you're playing earlier on your Pi.
Oh, like the first Legend of Zelda?
Yeah, you know, that the skipping maps and
the frame by frame.
Yeah,
man, let me tell you though,
8-bit warrior.
So since for real. So since I've been messing with this Raspberry Pi, I have learned and had a much greater appreciation for a lot of those older games. You know what I mean? Like, when you're a kid, you don't really think about it. You're just like, oh, this game's cool. And I was playing stuff on, like, my Super Nintendo and stuff like that. I kind of missed the tail end of the original Nintendo. But now that I'm going back and playing, like, all these old Super Nintendo games and Nintendo and, like Sega games and stuff like that, it's funny how, like, my brain remembers it one way. Like, my brain remembers Sonic the Hedgehog 2 way fonder than I do now, because I was like, I'm going to play Sonic 2. Like, I remember beating that game in one sitting as a kid. And then I go back and play it now, and I'm just like, this is kind of garbage. Like, this game is kind of garbage a little bit.
Well, if you notice, when you play things like Sonic from back in the day, because I just got it on that throwback Sega thing.
Yeah.
All right, so I noticed that you could pretty much speed through everything except for the bosses and get it done and over with. It's not like, you know, today's games where it takes some sort of mindset of thought and skill to actually play and beat.
Yeah, like, it is the original speedrun game. Like, as long as you have enough rings to just take whatever damage you run into, and, like, the few platforming bits in, like, certain levels, you can blaze through that game easy. And it's kind of sad, because I remember it being so hard when I was a kid, but it's because, like, I was trying to get all the rings, and I was trying to get all the Chaos Emeralds, and I was trying to, like, perfect the game. Now, if you want to, you can just fly through it, and like you said, like, you run to a boss, you take out the boss, and you just move on.
Yeah, and Tails was worthless unless you had a second player that knew what he was doing.
Yeah. Half the time, no, you know what really irritates me about Tails in that game? And I didn't realize this until I went back and played it. So you remember the bonus stages, right? In 2, where, like, it's almost like a bobsled. You know what I mean? Like, you're in that, like, half pipe or whatever, and you're getting coins. Not coins.
Well, I thought the half pipe one was fun. I didn't like the one, like, in the 3D world. You know, that you had to run around and you had those...
The blue and the red, yeah, the little circles red or whatever? Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't like that too well.
Yeah, I agree, though. Those levels were pretty dumb. Just because you... Actually, I was just playing them last night, those bonus levels, while I was playing Sonic 3. And the thing that got me was, like, if you're not really quick on your reactions, or, like, you just hit the wrong direction, you're just boned. It's all reaction-based. But no, what I was saying about the bonus levels in Sonic 2 is if you have to collect rings, and then you have to, like, get so many rings before you can advance onto the next stage, and then at the end you'll get the Chaos Emerald.
Yeah.
Well, freaking, if Tails collects any rings and Tails runs into one of the bombs, you lose the rings. So, like, the dumb AI can make you not get a Chaos Emerald.
That is true.
It's really irritating. You don't have that problem in 3, in the bonus levels in Sonic 3.
No, but that's because he follows you, like... behind it.
Yeah, he's like glued to your hip.
It's not like in the half pipe where you hit, like, to go left, and then, like,
there's a delay.
And then there's a slight lag, like, oh, you just turn, I'm gonna follow you.
Yeah. Oh, wait, wait for me.
Yeah. And same thing with the jump or something, you know, as soon as you try to do something, it's like he does it, like, momentarily after you do, so whatever reaction time you had to escape it, you still get screwed because of the computer. You get screwed because of Tails.
Yeah, he definitely... It's like a full, it's almost like a, I think it's about a full second, man, where he's just like you jump and he's like, oh, and then he jumps.
My turn.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, that's one thing I never liked is, oh, it's really cool because you can just hop in and play. Like, you didn't have to pick two player. If you picked one player and then someone just plugged in another controller and just started up, like, they could control Tails, no problem. But he's still a useless character because he's Tails.
I don't know. I kind of like playing as him because you could fly.
Yeah, but... Nah, that's a real small bonus to just how lame he is.
Yeah, I guess.
You know what I always wanted to do, though? I was convinced that you could get all the Chaos Emeralds as Sonic, right? And then you become Super Sonic. And then I always thought in my head, like, oh, what if you just play as Tails and you got all the Chaos Emeralds? Does he have, like, a super form? Or Knuckles, does he have a super form?
I don't know. I'd never tried that.
I never completed it. I remember so many times being like, I'm going to play as Tails, and I'm going to get all the Chaos Emeralds. And then, like, you beat a level without getting the Emerald, and you're like, well, I'm screwed, so forget it now.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, aside from Need for Speed, like, what else have you been playing? Like, this is all just catch-up week now, because a monkey wrench has been thrown in my lesson plan thanks to my broke computer.
Well, I just started playing Tom Clancy's The Division.
Oh, yeah?
Let's see, other than that, I mean, I kind of been dabbling between Black Ops 3, and I'm not really impressed by that. So, like, Black Ops 3 is only coming, I only play that when I'm bored as hell.
Yeah.
And I can't really find anything else to play.
Well.
I mean, if I didn't invest so much money into that, like, right off the bat, because I thought it was going to be a little bit more like Black Ops 2, so I went ahead and I bought the, all the expansions.
Oh, you got the season pass?
Yeah, I got the season pass for all that, so... You know, at that point, it kind of forces me into playing it and keeping the game because, you know, like, I wasted another
$50. You're monetarily invested.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's how it was. Remember when they came out with Battlefield Premium for Battlefield 3?
Yeah.
Like, that was it. Like, that was our game after that. Like, we weren't going to play anything else because we had all sunk an additional $50 into that game. Granted, Battlefield 3 was a much better game.
I didn't have a problem with Battlefield 3. I mean, I really liked the Metro map.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a good game, and, you know, I went to Battlefield 4, and, I mean, I liked it, but I didn't like it quite as much as Battlefield 3.
4 had things I liked about it that I thought were improvements on 3, but honestly, like, with that super broken launch and like the servers were messed up and like the game was just broke in a lot of ways, and like I fell off playing it, and then by the time it was fixed, I didn't care anymore. I moved on to something else.
Yeah, I mean, I quit playing it after a while. That was only because I got rid of the PlayStation 3 and got PlayStation 4. And by the time I got that download code already expired, so I wasn't able to transfer that.
Yeah.
And I wasn't about to go buy the game again.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, well, that's coming past.
No, if that code would have been good for like the life of, I mean, your system or like the new system, like for the one pass,
mm-hmm.
or should I say, if I bought a PlayStation 4, I should have been able to use it at least that one time.
Yeah.
You know, on that.
It seems weird that there's like an expiration code on that transfer, but I mean, they're going to do what they can to Dickie in some ways. They just want the money.
Yeah, pretty much. They're like, you know what? Go buy it. Go buy it again. Either buy it brand new or buy it used.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, they made their money off that copy. They don't care.
Did you get the season pass for 4?
Yes, I did. I got that and all the maps, and I can't do anything with it.
That's so brutal. Your wallet is like, why?
Well, I'm kind of interested in this Battlefield 1, though. That's on its way out.
I don't know, man. Battlefield 1 looks pretty legit, and I don't know. I'm having a hard time now justifying getting it to my...
Well, I like the fact that it's different than the Call of Duty series. It's going all super futuristic, and like they're bringing back like tomahawks and all that crap into playing,
mm-hmm.
and riding horses. I mean, what's more badass than taking on a tank with a damn horse? And then probably tossing some C4 on it.
Probably being the guy in the tank, honestly. But I'm really hoping they don't allow you to put satchel charges on horses. Because you know what's going to happen then. Like, people are just going to, like, they're going to jihad their freaking horses. That's not cool, man. That horse didn't do nothing to you.
Oh, yeah. No.
You know that's going to cause, like, a major point of contention, right?
Okay.
Like people, like PETA and all kinds of people are going to come out because you're killing all these digital horses in this game. I guarantee you there'll be some type of big uproar about it.
They're probably
going
to have to make a patch on the game eventually, or before it even arrives out, that, like, you cannot kill the horse.
It just gets like disabled or like knocked out or something like that.
Yeah, like it falls over and then gets up and then runs off, so you can't get back on it.
Oh, see, like that would actually be pretty smart. Like the horse gets spooked and runs away, and like you can't interact with it. That like takes it out of play.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, like it shows back up at your base at like the stable.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
See, so, that'd be a good way around the whole like PETA animal rights people being like, you're killing these horses. Like, nah, man, they just get spooked after a couple shots and they run off.
I mean, that would be realistic. I mean,
could you imagine something like the whole jihad scenario? Could you imagine like you're running the horse at like a tank or whatever and it explodes, and then you just see the horse, like huge explosion, and the horse just keeps on running and just runs away? That would look ridiculous.
Jumps through the
like
the
through
flames.
The fire and everything. Yeah. Looking all majestic and stuff.
Jumps through the mushroom cloud like poof. Yeah, like a unicorn.
That'd be amazing. So yeah, you said you're playing The Division. Like, tell me, like, how are you liking that? I'm not gonna lie to you, I uninstalled it. I had my time with it and that was it.
Wait, you played? Oh,
I played it on PC. Well, when I got that graphics card, my 970, it came with a code for the Division. So I installed it and I had the code and everything. And it was fun, but it definitely had a short tail for me. Like, I played through the majority of the campaign, and I realized once I was starting to get to the end, I was like, I don't know how much longer I'm going to like this. Because every time I went into the Dark Zone, if I wasn't rolling with a group of just hardcore killers, I was just getting rolled everywhere.
Well, the one thing that I don't like about it is that, like, if you're playing, when you're playing, and then you get that partner that comes with you, right? Mm-hmm. So if that guy decides to be a jackass,
yeah.
and stop somewhere, you're stuck where you're at.
Yeah.
And then you have to abandon the game. And then sometimes, depending if you, like, reached a certain point or something, you go back to where you were.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that part, like, for me, you know, ended up being one of those hard ass spots to get through that took like your team like 4 or 5 times to get through.
Yeah.
But I ended up going through with one jackass that did that. And like, I'm sitting over there shooting the guns, trying to get his attention and all that crap. And I mean, he just stood there like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go take a poop or something.
He's just standing there, guys.
Yeah. So ended up being like, I mean, The actual campaign and play, and I think, you know, being able to hide behind and shoot around the obstacles and things, mm-hmm. I think that's good.
I mean, as a cover-based shooter, it pretty much did the math. Like, it checks all the blocks as being a competent cover-based shooter. It's just for the whole, like the game beyond the campaign, like going into the dark zone and all the stuff they had planned after it. I think they had this really cool idea in their head, and people got to the end way too fast, and they couldn't get that stuff out there fast enough because the player count on that game has dropped significantly.
Well, another reason why it dropped significantly is because they had that thing about the mods, even on the consoles and stuff, or controller mods or whatever in the hell they're doing, but it would make the game really super unrealistic. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, people started dropping off and playing on that because they were like, well, what's the point if, I mean, dude goes through, he mows down freaking everyone, and you're just standing there like, well, what the hell do you need me for?
Yeah. Well, no, what killed me with that, though, is like later on in the later game, it takes so much to take down one of the enemies. Like, it takes a ridiculous amount of ammo to take someone down. And I don't understand that. Like, I understand it's a very numbers-based game, especially when it comes to like the damage you're putting out and like your different stats and stuff like that. That's cool, but if I unload an AK into some dude's face, he should not be standing after I go through a clip and I have to like reload and then open up on him again. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, it completely detaches you from like the feeling of the tension, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know as well as I do, though, that like in a realistic situation, realistic combat, mm-hmm. right, that even with armor and plates and all that stuff, you get hit on one of those, you're going to be freaking winded.
Yeah, I mean,
you're like, not going to, I mean, and then like after that first initial shock of hitting that plate, I mean, your plate's pretty much useless at that point.
Yeah, you got like three rounds to the chest if you're lucky.
All right, so, you know, they should cut it down to maybe like, you know, three or four hits and then that person's down realistic.
I'm not saying it has to be super realistic.
If you shoot someone in the face, they should pretty much die instantly.
Agreed there. Like, the fact that headshots don't count as an instant kill in games like this kind of irritates me because it's like, what's the point in even going for a headshot? Like, increase damage? No, dude, just drop him. But on the inverse of that, they're like, I understand having to keep with the numbers and stuff like that, but there's no reason to turn every other enemy into just a huge bullet sponge. You know what I mean? Like, you're just unloading rounds into these guys and they're not going down. I get it. You want to make it more challenging in the later levels. I get that. And you want higher level gear to mean something. I get that too. But at the same time, you don't need to make the enemies so overwhelmingly difficult to take down that it kind of trivializes combat. Because at that point, you're just like, well, I hope I have enough ammo to get through all this. And you're really just, like, by the time I got done playing the game, I was using an LMG because it was the only thing I could carry enough rounds to take people out.
I mean, the only other thing that you could possibly do at that point is do the stealth attacks, like to go up and do the melees.
Yeah.
You know, choke them out or something, but usually you end up getting spotted by one of the other, air quote, bad guys.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like I said, it was a good game. It was a lot of fun and stuff, but there just kind of came a point where I was like, I'm done with this, and I moved on to this stuff, especially once Overwatch came out. When Overwatch came out, I was like, well, this is the shooter I'm going to be playing for a while.
Well, I mean, other than that, I mean, I really don't have that many other games for, let's just say, like, console-wise, right?
Yeah,
but I've been dabbling into like the Rome Total War and
those are always good.
You know, the ones I got off the Humble Bundle.
Mm-hmm.
I've been buying those lately. I got like 57 games and I haven't even really been able to play like hardly
just,
any of them
just
yet.
Stacked up in there right now.
Yeah, I mean, I had to upgrade my processor from an i3 to an i7 just to, you know, run them decently. So
yeah, the Total War games are a lot of fun. I haven't gotten a chance to play Total War Warhammer. But everybody I've talked to that has played that game and compared it to other Total War games says it is really good. Like, I'm actually really stoked to play. I mean, I'll get it eventually at some point, but right now I'm just focused on, you know, the stuff I've been playing now. I have a huge back catalog I have to get through.
I mean, I got Warhammer, but I haven't played it yet.
You have Total War Warhammer?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, you got to get on that. Yeah, you need to play that game.
I
need
it. Yeah. Well, I need to figure out, because, I mean, I could probably Google it. I mean, I'm new to this whole Steam thing, so I mean, I'm pretty sure I could probably share it to you somehow.
No, I mean, if I could log into your account I could play it, but then you couldn't be online to play it.
Yeah.
Well. Steam has very tricky tricks to make sure that you can't finagle it like that. I mean, there's ways you could, like, you could purchase a game and gift it to me. People have done that to me before, and I've gifted games to other people. But I mean, you're still paying full price for a game. Like, literally, if you and I are friends on Steam and you decide, oh, hey, I'm going to buy this for, like, what a lot of games will do as well, like games like Terraria or,
well, I had a dude do that with me. He bought me State of Decay.
Yeah. And he probably bought like a 4-pack and he gave you one of the access codes to it.
I think so.
Yeah. That's definitely one of the cool things about Steam. Like, I got, what's it called? Like, for Terraria, a buddy, no, it was Billy, actually. Billy bought a 4-pack for him and Heather, and then he sent me one of the codes, and I used the code and unlocked it, and now it's in my Steam library.
Well, that must have been nice.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't definitely get no code.
That was forever ago.
Shame on you, Billy.
Shame on you. But yeah, it's, I mean, Steam is definitely, has definitely streamlined the way games are played now. I just don't like that the back catalog is really shallow in Steam.
Have you thought about getting a Steam machine?
I thought about it when they first came out, like when they were talking about them and stuff like that. But honestly, I don't have a need for just a dedicated Steam platform. And the way that they're trying to, like, upsell those things, I mean, they essentially have fallen off, though. Like, they don't really exist now because the concept was so bad that not many places actually made them.
Well, you know where they're actually starting to sell them now, right?
No.
Okay, so every GameStop that I have went into actually has a wall dedicated to Steam machines.
Ugh.
All right, I'm not even kidding. Like, it even has the part that, like, not the part, but the actual, it's kind of like PlayStation TV.
Oh, the,
connect to your computer and goes over Wi-Fi. So yeah, just like you would with a PlayStation.
Oh my gosh, I can't remember what it's called now. A Steam Link.
Yeah, they got that. They also have, the Steam machines that go from all the way from the ones with the i3 processors all the way to the i7s. And, I think that a dedicated machine like that isn't a too well inconceived program or not program, but,
idea.
Yeah, an idea. But, I mean, just think about it though. I mean, you have on your PC, like, hundreds of processes running at one time, right? Uh-huh. Well, on that Steam machine, you have your main processes to run that machine, and that's it.
That's true. But I understand the virtues of the idea and everything. I totally get that. But there's so many other sources to get games on PC that aren't Steam. Like, there's GOG, there's there's Blizzard. And I honestly, at the time when they were talking about it, it was a big deal. I didn't know if that was an actual thing you could do, if you could install games from Good Old Games onto a Steam machine. If that was possible, then yeah, it's almost the perfect idea. You know what I mean? Because then it's a dedicated PC gaming machine, and it does everything that it should do as far as taking care of games, and doesn't do all the side crap.
I mean, it'd be nice if I could play like my Origin games on it too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I got Titanfall and stuff that I can play.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is when it was first being talked about and they were coming out, there was no clear indication, at least to me. There might be somebody out there that knows, but there was no clear indication as to whether or not you could utilize those other platforms. And Steam is great. There's so many games on Steam, you'll probably never play them all in a lifetime. But like I said, like, their back catalog is really limited. And that's why I like going to Good Old Games, because I can find games that are freaking 15 years old on there and download them and still go back and play them. And some of them are up-res and some aren't. But like, I went on GOG a few weeks back and found Rune. Like, the OG, like, Viking third-person combat game. I found that on there for $5. And I was like, well, yeah, I'm going to get this because I haven't played this game in forever. And, yeah, it's just as fun as I remember it being. Granted, I really had forgotten how just weird that game was in a lot of places. That game is super weird. Like, if you're not paying attention to it in context, it's really odd. But, yeah, like, you couldn't find that on Steam, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of other places that you can look and go to find really good games, or, you know, good old games, hey. And that was a dad joke for the ages. But sometimes Steam can't do those things. They're like Blizzard. Like, you can't get any Blizzard games on Steam. So if I want to play, you know, Hearthstone or Overwatch or Heroes of the Storm or something like that, World of Warcraft, then if I can't use the Blizzard client on a Steam machine, that's another strike against it. You know what I mean?
That actually is a pretty huge strike against that.
Yeah. And see, the way I see it, though, is, and plus for the price that they were selling them for, like, the higher end models were pretty freaking expensive. And in my opinion, for that price, I could build a pretty awesome gaming rig and just, yeah, it's not 100% dedicated CPU and graphical power to playing the game, but the other processes that you're running in the background are so minimal, it doesn't even really matter at that point. You know what I mean? Like, if you have like an i7 CPU and say like the new 1080 graphics card, 16 gigs of RAM, and all the space you need to store all your games, and then all the little accoutrements to make everything the way you want it to be, at that point, who the hell cares if you have like Winamp running in the background to play music? That's not pulling anything when it comes to the processing power of making the game run smooth.
Well, not the processing power, but that does use RAM space. But then again, if you have 16 gigabytes of RAM, it's not going to make any difference.
Yeah, like right now in my computer, I'm running 24 gigs of RAM. There's almost no number of processes that I can't run at once that aren't limited strictly by the bottleneck that is my CPU at the moment.
True.
That's the only real handicap that my computer has. But I mean, that's something I could take care of later on in the future if I wanted to. But right now, I don't really see a point.
No.
But yeah, that's, man. Oh, shoot. We're almost at the end of class time. So, yeah. Man, it's good to sit down with you and do this again, Bobby.
Yeah, it is good to do that again.
Even though it did turn into me just rambling on again. But thanks for sitting here nodding. I appreciate
Actually,
that.
Not really. I mean, compared to things in the past.
Yeah, compared to things in the past, you were much more lively this time.
Exactly.
But I think that's going to wrap it up for this because we have stuff that we got to go take care of. And we're going to barbecue tonight. And that's going to be awesome.
Yummy.
Yep. All right. So that is going to do it for this edition of Binary Gamer. We are a weekly podcast over on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, all the places you can get your podcast, all the different services. We're also over on YouTube at iFlipOfTheSwitch. It's youtube.com/iFlipOfTheSwitch. And all the Twitter and all the places and all that stuff, you can find us all there too. So thank you for tuning in to this episode of Binary Gamer. I know things aren't exactly as they were supposed to be. We're supposed to be going over the different parts of RPGs and stuff for this month. That was the curriculum for this month. But unfortunately, because my computer decided to take an extended vacation, I got a little hamstrung. And I think this is a good little ad hoc, you know, podcast. You know, we talked about games. That's what's important in this particular instance. So, yeah, that worked out pretty well. But, yes, check us out over on all those places. And thanks a lot for listening. So, for Binary Gamer, I'm Tony Spears.
And I'm Bobby Dawson.
Class dismissed.
Boom.